Yes, sir, what is your name? What's your name, sir? Vernon Molina, okay, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis will conduct your hearing, sir.
Sir, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Vernon Molina, 176479.
Thank you, sir, and good morning.
You're
appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on December 5th, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes.
I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your teleconference screen, at least to my immediate left at the end of the bench, is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is the Honorable C.T. Wright, Dr. C.T. Wright, our board chairman. To my right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Louis Quinones, and I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, who will be representing the Department of Corrections, as well as a parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Molina and Mr. Osborne, you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so will you affirm.
Yes,
I do.
Mr. Molina, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated the conditions of phase one. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. I will now begin by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal razor company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by the use of alcohol on or about November 11th, 2017 for the in-office breathalyzer result on November 11th, 2017. Mr. Molina, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Molina's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Molina, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing. During this phase, we'll determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by. There's Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly with questions and you can talk to the board in detail. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Molina was released from DOC custody on October 20th of 2017. He was arrested on November 11th of 2017 at PRC on a tech violation and was returned back to custody that same day with 0 scout days with a community supervision end date of February 21st of 2018. Current conviction, 2016, aggravated assault, 2 years, 6 months. Prior conviction, 2003, aggravated assault, 1 year. 2008, aggravated assault, 1 year, 5 months. And 2012, aggravated assault, 1 year, 6 months. He has 4 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4-4, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 1. There's no SCG or gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2003, TIS completion, 1 month. 2008, PRCD violator, returned to custody and reached CSED. 2013, task completion 2 months. Has a moderate disciplinary history with violence noted. Other arrests, 1998, aggravated criminal damage, hazy juvenile probation. 1998, aggravated criminal damage, hazy juvenile probation. 1999, trespassing, hazy juvenile probation. 1999, threat, intimidate, hazy juvenile probation. 1999, marijuana violation, hazy juvenile probation. 2000, aggravated assault, hazy juvenile detention. 2000, drug paraphernalia violation, hazy juvenile detention. 2001, trespassing, hazy juvenile detention. 2001, resisting arrest, hazy juvenile detention. And 2010, assault, AZ misdemeanor conviction probation. And he has a community risk score of G5, B6.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Molina. I see that you're released from DOC with an approved residence at Old Pueblo Community Services. It says that they did not have a bed available. You were placed at Penal Reentry Center in Tucson. You failed to return to PRC by 6 p.m. curfew. You did not return until, pardon me, November 3rd, 2017. You were put back in PRC. And then another failure to return on November 10th. You returned on November 11th. Were you working at all when you were on community supervision, Mr. Molina? Then how did that work out for you, sir?
I was getting a seminar money so that we had a job here at the Ranger Center. I did everything I was supposed to do, everything I was required. And we had a job here, so the electrician, I spoke with the electrician moments earlier, and he liked what I had to say, so we brought everybody together that was doing the job here. And what happened was we had a meeting in the side room. And the electrician liked what I had to say. He liked my work experience. He realized that I was changing for the better and that I was still young and that he liked the improvements. And I hung where I was coming from, but I come from a small town. And that he was willing to help me out and that he was going to train me as an apprentice for an electrician. So I was, all I needed was a driver's license. So I had to take some counseling classes. I had to pay for out of pocket, which money I didn't have. Then I had to get my license reinstated. So in the process, I was doing day labor and I never made it to that. Because for the reason being, like I said, I was changing for the better. I've come from living a different lifestyle. So now I got a head on my shoulders. My family understands where I'm coming from. And I realize that I'm trying to better myself. And I can't depend on them or they can't depend on me, but I have to do it for myself. I don't got a problem with drugs. I don't smoke. And well, as I do have, I never had anybody to look up to or give me advice. I was always on my own. I defend for myself. I never had anybody to look up to, period. Nobody helped me out, so I had to do everything on my own. And being in the environment where I was at, being incarcerated and stuff like that, I always did programming, I had jobs, I kept myself busy by working for DLC. I've been privileged enough to work out in the community for DLC as well. Never had a problem. So my leisure time, I would usually, when I'm home, or on the streets, I would work and then I would drink beer at the end of the day, no problem. But alcohol has been a problem for me since I was 11, 12 years old, and I have the urge to not drink no more, and I just don't have no cravings. Just the thought of being around beer just drives me sick. You know, I look at it and I'm like, why am I even here? Why is that even in my face? So that, being locked up, I'm the general population, so being in Sacramento, I was doing everything I was supposed to do. And what happened was I had never been around sex offenders, and they surrounded me with sex offenders, and I didn't know how to function. And I've been around decent people who through these work programs that have helped me out and given me good advice by telling me, you know what, reach out, the help is there, just say something. And I hurt myself by not speaking up and saying nothing because I didn't want my parents to think that I was dirtbagging them. And I just didn't know how to approach being going through changes and transitioning in my life. I just didn't know how to come out and tell the employers, look, I knew there was other options, but I just didn't know how to go about it. I didn't tell them I could go to, if I can get an application to switch out to another halfway house or if they can move me to another part of the re-entry environment, moving somewhere away from those guys. And I don't know if I'm going to get denied or not. So most guys that I know of, they would literally go out and do drugs and drink around and leave me. I knew that I was actually doing what I was supposed to do, what I have to do to get my life straight. But in the process, I didn't know how to cope with these people, and I did drink a beer. I told them that I did have one beer because I didn't know how to go about it. I didn't know how to get it off my chest, and that's where I hurt myself by not speaking up and saying nothing.
Okay, Mr. Molina? If I may ask you a few questions, and you've provided some very detailed information, and I got to tell you, I like what I'm hearing, but there are a couple of questions. You said that you've been drinking since you were very young. Was drinking associated with fighting? Because you have quite a few aggravated assaults in your history.
When I wasn't really in tune with myself, nor did I was lost in it. It took me some time to find myself, to realize what I wanted to do. At that time, being young, it was a leisure thing, as well as me being Native American. It was something spiritual that was going on off to the side at the same time that I didn't realize it was pulling me in, and I was drawing me in by acting like that, and I got stuck in that behavior. And then what I had to accept and realize that, you know, life is not easy, and I had to make change. So while I was under the influence, it took me years, and I started noticing a change within me, certain stages with the alcohol and my mental state. So when I finally realized that, by going to rehabs, and I do a lot of therapy, I participate in counseling, well throughout the juvenile system and the adult system, as well as participate out here in the community, and I realized by hearing other people out and listening to my own personal experiences, but not through the big AA book, but hearing people talk about their personal struggles with spirituality and enlightenment, and I realized that there was a problem, and that is not only with the alcohol, that it, the mental state and the spiritual state wasn't healthy for me to be under the substance, and I was hurting myself. So I had to come to the realization that if I wanted to be a productive member of society, that I just had to stay away from negative people. I do pretty good by myself. Like I said, I work, and I do a drink on them. When I get home, I cook, I do the family thing, watch TV, and I'm okay with them. I'm from a small community of like 3,000 people. The sheriff's department, I don't know what it is, but I don't know what the family history was like in the past. But it was a Mexican town, Indian town, and it was a Phillips Dodge Mining Corporation town, and all in one, and there were so many people going on as far as the people, the community goes. The locals there, the sheriff's department, they're all pretty much know everybody, and when I grew up, they were constantly on me, and I felt like it was harassment, and I didn't know how to go about it. And across the street, you know, and I smelled like alcohol. And I felt like I was being harassed, so if I was in a normal state of mind, not drinking, all those arrests which are alcohol related would have never happened.
Okay, so
being negative.
One second, I need to take some information from our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, yes.
Yes, sir, I just wanted to note that he got out on 10/20, reported to the office. On 10/31, he absconded from the program. A scoundrel warrant was put out. He returned back on 11/3.
Mm-hmm.
Admitted that he was hanging out with friends drinking a Four Loko and blew a blood alcohol level of 0.66.
Okay.
On 11/6, and then they sent you to be honest and said he drank, they'll give him a chance. On 11/6, he again admitted to drinking alcohol.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Mr. Molina, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any further questions for you. Fellow board members. Okay, and we've heard quite a bit of information from you, Mr. Molina. I guess, and I'm going to ask you to keep it short, but it looks like that you've had counseling for alcohol, so you seem to be arriving at a place in your life where you want to be alcohol-free and productive. Is that correct?
Correct, sir.
We're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you'd like to make before the board, before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat yourself in the interest of time management, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yes, I am a family treasure. I'm from Tucson. I'm looking forward to finding something to do productive with my life. Alcohol houses would be acceptable for me to get me on my feet, because if I get out from GLC, if I do get released at the very end, I'm in the hole right now, so I really have no way of getting one of these halfway houses. And it's going to be difficult if I don't have that privilege of getting one of the notice or getting back out there, but just getting me kicked out on my end day. I really don't know any. Communication is the key, and resources is the way. And it'll be kind of hard for me to get out with nothing, you know. So with this, if I do get granted, and I do got my Social Security card and my Arizona ID, and I got some clothes here at the Sacramento facility, you know, that would be, you know, a privilege right there. If I got that right. But once again, it's up to you guys. And like I said, I'm furthering myself in my life, and I'm not looking back from these mistakes. I got to go and just move on. Because I don't want this access back. I just want to move on and do something.
Okay, Ms. Marina, before we go into discussion, just a quick follow-up questions. Do you have family support on the outside?
Yes, I do.
And how about the resources from your tribal nation?
I was doing it under Arizona Stop and Arizona at Work. And the Indian Center here at downtown, they do the same thing as well. So they told me just to stay with Arizona at Work, because in my case it would be overwhelming, and it's practically the same thing for both sides of the city, just stick with one, which I was doing.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board's going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're continuing our discussion with you, but is the board discussing your case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes? So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision, Mr. Molina. Thank you for your time. The board is now in discussion, fellow board members. We received detailed information from Mr. Molina. I really liked what I was hearing about his work ethic. It's unfortunate that he had some, that he relapsed to a certain extent anyways by consuming beer while he was on community supervision. It didn't sound like the Pima Reentry Center was a good fit for him. He's down, if my calculation is correct, to about 55 days left, and I think he might be better served if he could be released on his own free will and take advantage of this time left on his flat sentence to put together a plan for his return to the community. We mentioned apprenticeship with in electronics or in the services, and I think at this point, I'm just not finding him a good candidate for community supervision, but I'm certainly open to the collective wisdom of my peers. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I agree. He is doing some great things, has some good work ethics, but I don't think Mr. Molina is susceptible to really getting into a program where he's not drinking. He just says that he likes to go home, he works, he does all his thing, he goes home, spend some family time, and he drinks. And while he's on community supervision, that's one thing that he cannot do. And I think that he's going to continue that plan now. But with you, I think that completes his community supervision and gets out. He won't be on parole. He won't be on community supervision. He'll be able to come up with a plan and continue to be a productive citizen out there. And the drinking won't be an issue when he gets home.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land, and that is based on the information provided in warrant number 2017W3814, our discussion with Mr. Molina, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Molina was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed, was about to lapse in a criminal ledger company, inasmuch as that he was violating the terms of his condition by use of alcohol, which is prohibited, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Molina, your supervision has been revoked and will be released on or about February 21st, 2018. If you heard me, that's about 55 days away. It sounds like that you have some options when you come out of the system, and we hope that you have a safe and productive return to the community. Please take advantage of the remainder of your time to put together a plan to return to your family. Hopefully you'll continue to have work opportunities through those that don't work. And we do wish you the best. The hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we'd appreciate if you'd give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, Mr. Molina.
Yep. Thank you.